The Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Discover a team that's always here to support you at All Care, taking care of communities across Ireland.
Now, lots of you will know my next guest. He's one of the stars of Netflix's White Lines, ITV's Cold Feet, and he's also a BBC Radio 1 DJ. But this week, he's launching a brand new podcast about a subject very close to his heart. Kel Spellman, good afternoon.
Brendan, good afternoon. Such a pleasure to be on with you, sir.
And a pleasure to have you. And Kel, can I say, loving your work in White Lines. It feels like a lifetime ago now, like a million years ago. But it was lockdown one, I think, here when White Lines came out, and it kind of kept us all going for a while there.
No, I appreciate that. It was a spot on. I think it came out around April time, and in a way, obviously, I remember thinking we'd have preferred it to come out under normal circumstances, but it felt like it was a lovely bit of respite and escapism for people, I think, during
that kind of crazy initial time. Yeah, the light of a beat then, the idea of... it all turned very horribly wrong, but the idea of all people there dancing together and, fantastic.
It was magic. I think in the opening episode, it says Ibiza opening party 2020, and that kind of obviously never happened, so it kind of exists now in this weird dystopian place. Yeah. We were the only ones that went to the Ibiza opening parties in 2020.
Yeah,
quite funny.
Excellent. When did you make it?
We filmed it the year before, so we were back and forth around Spain for about 8 months. It was, and we were filming. We only actually did a week in Ibiza because we were filming in peak season, so it would have been too tough to have a big film crew taking over the island. So we did a week in Ibiza, and then between Mallorca and Madrid. The year before it was. So it was I felt very fortunate.
Stop.
I know.
Yeah, another world.
Every time I say it, Brendan.
Now, listen, Kel, your podcast, Call of the Wild, is launching this week. And just tell us about it. And also, you got a very special guest for the first episode, too.
I do, yeah. It's something we've been working on for a bit of time now. So a brand new podcast called Call of the Wild. And going off the name, you probably worked out, it's kind of all centered around the environment, the climate change and the climate conversation as a whole. And I've been working and making it with WWF, not the wrestling, the World Wildlife Fund. And we aim basically to kind of highlight some key areas of the climate conversation, delve into it. You know, we're not saying you have to be an expert or kind of, you know, be kind of really in the environmental space, so to speak. We wanted to make this an open place for everyone to hopefully learn a little bit, kind of grow awareness and education, and at the same time, you know, try and get some tangible things that you can take away from listening that you can go out and do and implement, which is really cool. And we've kicked off. We've kind of peaked straight away, I think, but we're very grateful to say our first guest is Sir David Attenborough. It's kind of the perfect place to start that journey on, really.
Yeah. If you learned one thing from David Attenborough, what was it?
Do you know what? That given the amount of time he spent in the natural world and how much he's seen and how much he knows, he still remains very hopeful and optimistic for the future. And I think in a conversation that can feel quite overwhelming and can make people quite pessimistic, to hear from the man himself that he actually is still hopeful and thinks that we can turn things around and that, you know, we are able to make the change we need to change. I think that's probably one of the best things I took from him.
Yeah, and I know it's funny, we were talking to a guy here yesterday who runs a lot of tech companies and everything, and, you know, he's making the point that the conversation around the environment can be a bit of a downer a lot of the time, but he's very much solution focused. So you're kind of on the same tip, aren't you, that, like, actually, you know, we don't need to get fatalistic about this. We can do this.
Completely. I think there's a balance to be struck in that. Obviously, the severity of the situation is very severe. But in the same breath, you know, and knowing just how I can feel about it at times, we need everyone to kind of play a role in this. And you're not going to get everyone on board if it's all doom and gloom, negative, nothing's going to happen and nothing's going to change. Because then everyone's going to go, what's the point? I've got enough going on in my own life. I don't need to be stressing and worrying about that. But I think, yeah, it's always been part of kind of my message of going, like, look, things are bad, But there are so many things out there. The science is out there. The systems are out there for us to implement to bring about that change. So actually use that kind of feeling of hope and galvanize people to say, we can absolutely do this together. Otherwise, I think no one will want to get involved. And I'd understand that, because I think that's a feeling that I definitely felt when I was 15, 16. You kind of just want to bury your head in the sand. But we kind of need everybody to play a part in this.
So is this something that you got? I mean, look, you're still very young, but did you get into it as you got older, or was it, were you a kind of a big into nature growing up and everything?
Yeah, it was a bit of both, to be honest, Brendan. I think I always felt I had a connection and love for wildlife in particular. When I was younger, that was kind of my big thing. I always had an adoption pack of some sort. And then you learn the kind of, you know, about global warming and the environment in school, which kind of piqued my interest a bit. But I think it was more, I was around 15 and 16 when I really realised actually where things were at when it comes to kind of climate change and what's happening to the planet and why it's happening. And I guess from there, I was working on children's BBC at the time, and I just really felt that I was going to go one of two ways: either bury my head in the sand and kind of lock myself in a room and go, I don't want to know about it, I'm going to shut it all off, or try and actually do something about it. And where I had a little bit of a voice and platform, especially amongst younger people, I think that's when I reached out to WWF to say, I'd really love to try and support your work and just spread the message and awareness and try and bring people along and involved in this conversation. So that's kind of been my journey, really. And then from there, it's just grown and grown and grown. And it is now something that I'm very passionate about and just want to try and do all I can to help, I guess.
And how have you changed your own life?
A few things, really. You know, I think a big one for me over the last few years, I've really tried to move towards a plant-based diet. And I will say, and I think I always like to find it important to say, listen, I'm not full vegan. And with a lot of these things, I think people kind of see it's either one extreme or the other, either eat meat or don't eat meat. It's not the case. I think small incremental changes to your habits and routines is what we should all be striving for. So I kind of adopt a more plant-based diet now. I'm very well, a lot more conscious about my travel. You know, some travel can't be helped again because of work, but in my own personal life, it's something that I'm very aware of. I try and do a lot of work around younger people and within schools, because I think if you can, this next generation really are going to be play a massive part, I think, in it. So growing awareness in that space. I changed my energy supplier. So you can get a totally green, renewable energy supplier. So I did that recently. And also trying to look at my shopping and spending habits. You know, money is a very powerful thing. I think we all know it seems to make the world go round. So choosing where I spend my money and what I invest in and who it is that I want to kind of give my time to and my money to is another thing that I've really been kind of focusing on over the last 2 years.
Yeah, that's very sensible. So basically, Kel, you can be the change and we can all be the change. All right, listen, great to talk to you. And the first episode of Call of the Wild with Kel Spellman and the WWF launches on next Wednesday, 17th of February, and that will be available on all podcast providers. Okay, well done. Thanks, Kel.
Brendan, pleasure. Thank you very much.
You too. We'll be back with our entertainment panel in just a minute.
Email brendan@rte.ie.